Father, we thank Thee for this evening gathering. Thank Thee for granting to us safety in the afternoon where many of our campus were outdoors. Thank Thee for the safe passage for each one of them. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can be gathered in the quiet of this sanctuary after dinner to come before Thee. Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit may fill us and help us to have an understanding of Thy grace, Thy marvelous grace, sustaining, keeping, blessing us. O Lord, may we enjoy this fellowship with Thee and one with another. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship is the theme for our consideration as we come to understand what God is worth in our life, or the worth of God in our life. Let us read our text once again from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are patiently going through these two verses because it is going to impact us for a lifetime. If it's going to impact us for good for a lifetime, with the amount of time that we can spend, the limited time that we can spend in this camp, I think it is worth our effort. We want to think tonight the thought, deep gratitude, deep gratitude. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We began our message saying that life brings with it challenges, brings with it distress, brings with it much, oftentimes we say, distaste, difficulties confronting us. And the Lord is saying to us that there is a way out. There is a way out. Seek my face, the Lord says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, commit your life, commit all the things that goes on in your life to the Lord. In prayer, with prayer and supplication. Prayer is the term that is used to describe a man coming to God. And supplication describes a further involvement in that coming whereby he raises up his needs before God and he seeks to impress upon the Lord his heart, whatever he's going through. It might be pain. It might be certain aspects of life that is so perplexing that he cannot resolve, and he's seeking for the Lord's wisdom And God wants us to do so in our approach to Him, as we bring all our petitions to Him. We have given many verses to say that God will certainly answer your prayer. In fact, He will meet your needs to the fullest. In fact, He will meet your needs to the overflowing as you come to Him, as you commit yourselves to Him, as you seek Him. What a great God we serve. And the Lord wants us to think, right? So we say deep gratitude. And what does it mean? How do you express it? Give praise to the worthiness of God. Give praise to the worthiness of God for who He is, what He is doing for us. It is easy to forget or take for granted a giver who will not fail in His giving and will not fail to show kindness and goodness towards us. Imagine a giver like that. Inexhaustible benevolence showered upon us. Will we get used to the availability? We get used to the consistent, constant supply of receiving. It is easy for one to stop acknowledging the source of our goodness. Just like we said, you turn on the tap, you expect that the water will always flow. You press the switch, you expect the light will automatically come on. And you flush the cistern. You know that, you know, all the foul things would be taken away from you. Ah, what convenience, we said. But it's easy to, you know, when it reaches a habitual routine in our life, to forget that there was a process that has gone on to allow that water to flow into the tap and come out, you know, and then come out of it whenever you turn the tap. And the power generating machine that would provide the electricity that you need, and the underground sewage that is dug deep into the ground to carry all those foul things that you don't want near you away, so that you would experience a clean, you would experience a bright, you would experience a lovely environment around you. And well, these things we speak about are visible supplies, and you can trace to a particular source of this supply. But for the God, the Father who is in heaven, He is invisible. It's easy to take for granted that you can call upon Him and He will answer you. Right? We said that the psalmist has experienced Psalm 116, verses 1 to 2. The goodness of God. And he says that I will live forever in that goodness. Who doesn't want to enjoy the goodness? All of us would like to. And it behooves us to appreciate what we are receiving. It behooves us to express a great deep gratitude towards what we have. And the kind of blessing that God gives to us is not just what He will do for us here and now, but what He will do for us, preparing a pathway for us for all eternity. The blessings that is to come, how great it is, how wonderful the blessings of God. And how does God prepare us to have this sense of deep gratitude? Well, God prepares the heart of the sinner so that he can understand divine grace. If we have not experienced filth, then we don't know what is dirty. But if you have been in the mire, you have been there, you said, I don't want to be there. We saw a meeting 2 days ago, right here at our doorstep, seeking for peace in a region, in a place where years ago it was plagued with bloodshed, plagued with pain, plagued with agony, and the suffering has not abated. To the families that have suffered in the generations following. And the people understood the value of peace. And God, when He brings us to Him, He brings us through a journey in our life. And we don't acknowledge God easily, you know. We are all rebels before God. At one point in our lives, all who were saved by grace can attest to the grace of God, to the mercy of God. The richness of that mercy when He saved us, and how we have enjoyed that grace, and we compare what it was before and now. The Apostle Paul, look at it this way, and he explained it very well. He says, and you has He quickened? He tells the church in Ephesus. This is the same Apostle Paul who was writing in prison to the church in Philippi. There was another church that was founded in this place called Ephesus. And he says, you has He quickened. You has He made alive. You are spiritually alive now. Whereas you were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. You were walking corpses. In other words, you have no life. There was no life in you. But something was effected, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This was who we are. Among them who also had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know that privilege that God has accorded to you as a child of God? That in the ages to come, he tells us of the ages to come, he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The depth of our salvation, the depth of our blessing, how heaven was won for us. What a great work of grace wrought to make us living beings. We are no longer dead in trespasses, but we are alive under Christ, alive spiritually. And we begin to learn how to be connected with the giver of life. And there is that effervescing life within us. And God is, through his servant, the Apostle Paul, is teaching us how to be grateful to all that we are receiving. So he tells us that in everything by prayer. Why does he have to tell us to pray? Because that's where you receive your blessings. And you don't receive something without saying thank you. Somebody gives you something. What would be our response? Thank you. Because we have received something. It is warned for us to give acknowledgement of thanksgiving for what we have received. And so the Lord is saying to us that there is a way out through the vicissitudes of life, and it's through that channel of prayer that God avails to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, by which the Heavenly Father will supply us. And he's telling us to call upon the worthy name of God. That the worthy name of God, the one who is supplying you all that you have, be exalted in our hearts. Be praised. Be magnified. That he must receive, he should receive, he ought to receive the center place in our hearts. That's the meaning of the phrase with thanksgiving. When we request, we know that, right, we have said and we have given numerous passages of scripture of God's promises that he will answer our prayer. He would meet our needs, exceeding our needs. He would be there for us. And so the Lord speaks to us and would like us to understand what God is doing for us. That is why in the Lord's Prayer, it begins with praise and it ends with praise. And in the morning, we went through the petitions, but we did not complete that last praise. Well, that praise comes here in relation to help us to see and understand that in all these things that we are asking God for, our daily bread, our protection, the forgiveness of our sins so that we have a heart that is not guilty but peaceful, that we'll be protected from the wiles of the devil, the devouring lion of the devil, of Satan, all these things that God would give to us, well, he tells us, let us give a rightful response of a filial son to our beloved Father in heaven. Let us give a rightful response of a filial son to his beloved Father. It is out of a heart of thanksgiving, of gratitude for the marvelous work of regeneration wrought in our hearts, because he has made us holy and we have been able to enjoy that holiness, the beauty of holiness. Do you know why God gave to us 6,000 years of human history? Plagued with diseases, plagued with tragedy, plagued with wars, plagued with brokenness, plagued with distresses, so that we may learn that that is not how we ought to be. That is not the state that we want to be in. There is a contrast. So you say, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow the world to see all these things? Well, that's so that we may understand the tragedy of it. Over dinner or over lunch, one of our brethren said to us, during the time of the war, it's so frightening. I can never forget it. The soldiers are going to come. Thank God the baby didn't cry. If not, they would have knew that they would come to us. I cannot forget the fear that was in my heart after all these years, 70 years, 80 years. Cannot forget. We were there, and now we are here. And this is what the Lord wants us to see. The Father in heaven, we cannot see. But Jesus, his Son, we can see. And in eternity, this is what we will see. You read the book of Revelation to see the worship of thanksgiving in heaven. You don't see the Father, but you would see the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. You would see Jesus and his suffering and what he had done for us that won us the blessing that we would be enjoying in heaven. And so when we read the scriptures, review the life of Christ, the abstract, we said, becomes the concrete. You see God in person, how he healed the leper, how he healed the blind, how he healed the lame, how he healed the deaf. How life came back to a man whose life has departed from him. And what unspeakable joy for those who are healed, for those who have received the blessing. And God wants us to understand and see for ourselves, out of the tragedy of this world, that there is a God, and that he's supplying us, and that he's helping us. And, you know, after all that Israel did to their Savior, what did they do? They betrayed him. and they crucified him. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. What great magnanimity. And as we think of who our God is, what he has done for us, our God is able to convey to us the meaning of his presence with us by the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. It all falls into place. We would understand why Paul says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The book of Psalms is the praise book of the Bible. When we sing the Psalms or when we read the Psalms, we are acknowledging the goodness of the God, of God that is described for us to see vividly who he is. Psalm 100. Tells us about who this God is, what he is doing for us, that we are like sheep taken care by a shepherd, by our shepherd, our God. A sheep, right? God gives very good imagery. He makes the animal called the sheep that is so helpless, that is so naive, we said, that is unable to fend for itself, and how the sheep needs the shepherd. Without the shepherd, what happened to the sheep? And the psalmist described for us, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Thanksgiving. And so the Lord says that live your life with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's the right response of deep gratitude for what God will do for us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Every Lord's Day, when we walk into the sanctuary for worship, we would pass these words of Psalm 100 verse 4 that is outside the auditorium, before we would walk in, to remind us what God is doing for us, providing us a place of worship. So beautiful. The lights, the sunlight coming in, the natural light, the special light lighting. Well, God takes care of his people in answer to prayer. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. What does it mean to bless the name of the Lord? Well, to bless the name is an act of consecration, of renewing our faith and trust in him. It is done nothing less than a wholehearted consecration and a devotion. And so the Lord wants us to cultivate that kind of a heart toward him. The Lord wants us to understand what he's doing for us. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Can you imagine that this word everlasting in the human vocabulary? Everlasting in this mortal world that we live in, is there anything everlasting? Nothing is everlasting. But the Lord is saying to us that his love for us, his care for us is everlasting. And the reality of it, he wants us to take hold. And his truth endureth to all generations. This God, who he is, his character, we can safely say to our children, you may have nothing else, but you have our God, the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have everything you need for all eternity. What a heritage. And so as you read the Psalms, you get an idea of what God is doing for our life, who we are in relation to him, and what he's doing in relation to us. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Then the famous traveler's psalm, Psalm 121. What a wonderful psalm. A song of degrees. A psalm that was composed when the Israelites would take their journey to Jerusalem and to the temple to worship their God. And we were mentioning how God's glory came upon the temple when the temple was dedicated. How God's glory came upon the tabernacle when the tabernacle was in the wilderness to depict for us the very presence of God with his people. And Solomon says that if you would pray toward the temple, this is where God is, a visible picture for us. And the Lord wants us to understand, and he builds that temple for us to see a visible picture of the presence of God. That's why Daniel would pray 3 times a day towards Jerusalem, the temple that was there in Jerusalem. And then there was the woman in Samaria whom Jesus met at the well. She says, where do I worship? I'm half Gentile, half Jew. They won't admit me into the temple. I'm not worthy of the glory there. But Jesus says that the true believer of God would neither worship there or in that temple that you have in Samaria, but you shall worship your God in spirit and in truth. That when you receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes and indwells you. You become the temple of God. What a glory it is. So when Jesus came, the word that was describing Jesus came to dwell among men. He tabernacled. He make his dwelling with men so that we may know and see the omnipotent God with us. And so as you read the Psalms and you see here I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes. Just lift up your eyes. You know, utter a prayer. That's the prayer posture of the saint. Just lift up your eyes. He carry a prayer in your thoughts, in your heart. And it goes all the way to the throne room of God. And he will answer you, the maker of heaven and earth. And how he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Our God will not sleep. He won't sleep on his job. He's no derelict father. But he will be there to help us. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Right? The Lord gave a visible picture of his presence with us to help us, to care for us. And the Lord wants us to see and understand who he is to us. And that is the meaning of the words of the Apostle Paul when he tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? This is why, for who he is to us and what he's doing for us. And watch verse 7 and 8, even more amazing. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. All evil. All. All encompassing. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, the Spirit of God comes and indwell you. No evil spirit can possess you. The Spirit of God is more powerful than all the spirits that is in the world. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. Amazing words of promise. Does it not bring for us a sense of deep gratitude in our heart for what he's doing for us, for who he is to us, and even forevermore? Wow! A phrase that is so mind-boggling, that eternal care of God. And a third psalm, 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, and for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretch out the earth over the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, we need to read the development, because God wants us to see this is the journey of life that he's speaking to us. The journey of life that is chronicled in human history, in time. This is what God has done. This is what God is doing in your life. For you, the moon and the stars, rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Right? A little bit nearer to the sun and, you know, we'll be baked, charred. And to him that divided with a strong hand, to him that smote Egypt with their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. So here is describing about your life. What God is doing for you day to day, day by day. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. For his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. For his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness. For his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us? Who remembered us in our low estate? Now he's speaking to us. For his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. This is what God is doing for us. And these are earthly victories that is being described for us. What God is doing for you daily. As you call upon him, he answers you. Does it not cause us to have that posture of a grateful heart in thanksgiving, to seek to adore and appreciate our God, the source and supply of all goodness, with a heart that acknowledges him fully? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This is what God wants us to have for who he is. And we are not going to develop it further. Although we can develop it further. Every time you read the Bible, you read about an attribute of God, who he is. Shorter Catechism, question 4, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. This is who our God is, and what does it mean for him to us? His being, our spiritual rebirth. Right? He came to us and sought us out and brought us back to the fold again. Wisdom, the wisdom of God can be imparted to us, our devotional life. When we take time to know him, seek him, pray, we find wisdom for life. Infinite wisdom, divine wisdom, power, the power of God, our comfort, things we cannot move. He moves it for us. And so we are still here having our camp. Although we thought we may not be able to. But the Lord allow us. Holiness. Our purity. He has made for us. He has made us for who we are. And He seeks for us to live that life, beholding, enjoying the beauty of holiness. Away from the filth of sin. No more, we said. No more. Justice, our hope. Remember the widow? Justice. God gave her back justice. Because we have a God who is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice. He makes wrong things right. He sees, He knows. Goodness, our benevolence, the goodness of God we experience. We have received much from God, and what He expects of us, our benevolence, that all we have comes from Him. And truth, our submission, our willingness to follow Him. And so the Lord wants us to understand and feel His presence with us. When the church is in heaven, they would sing a new song. Every time you read in the Bible, there is a great victory. They would sing a new song. Mary sang a new song. Miriam sang a new song. Moses sang a new song. The psalmist would sing a new song in celebration of who God is. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by Thy blood out of all kindreds, tongues, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow. This is what God is doing for us. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the heaven, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard, saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Not a hard thing, you know, to lift up your eyes upon the hills, a very easy posturing whereby we are able to have our needs met, our wants granted. That's why the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that is a phrase of thanksgiving. The Lord wants us to see and understand what a great God we serve. What a great God who possesses the heaven and the earth and has condescended to dwell in us, to dwell with us, to dwell for us, and to dwell and live through us. And the Lord wants us to live out that life. May the Lord help us to live it out well. May we not forget who He is to us.
Thank God that He's able to brought us to understand who He is to us, what He's doing, what He will do. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for Thy grace. May Thou be gracious to bless us with Thy presence. Lord, thank You. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.